You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Quite a day on the JSE, Nick. But I noticed around about 2 hours ago the Nasdaq futures were up well over 1%, and now they're down on the day. I mean, it's a bit of a reversal going on. Can you please explain that adequately to me?
Evening, Lindsay. Evening to your listeners. It's one of those days where it's going to be. If today is anything to go by, it's going to be a choppy week. So, interesting enough, on my sort of Reuters screen, what it does is certain parameters that you get a sort of a headline news. So, for example, if a stock like gold moves 1%, you get a headline going, you know, gold is up 1%, or Rand moves 1%, you get 1%. The same goes with indices when they go unchanged. So, and positive and negative. So the S&Ps and the NASDAQ, et cetera, as you said, are up about 1% at their best. I think 0.7 on the S&Ps, 1% on the NASDAQ. Then it goes negative, and I get a headline news that goes, NASDAQ goes negative, or S&Ps go negative. Since it opened at 3:30, I've had about 7 of those headlines. NASDAQ goes positive, NASDAQ goes negative. NASDAQ goes positive, NASDAQ goes... So, I mean, that is, look, it's well off the highs, but since we went into the unchanged level, it's been up and down through that 7 times in the last, an hour and a half. So it's very... very choppy and very undecisive. Very little news flow, so I can't answer your question on the intro. Like, why did we sell off 1% from its highs? I don't know. Still, I guess, a few headlines, a little bit of nerves around the COVID record cases still accelerating. And there's been quite a bit out of where you're based at the moment, the UK, with Brexit and the United Kingdom's minister, that Gove, I believe his name is, he's the Brexit minister. Mm. He's been very sort of quite hard language in the last 10 minutes, saying we're not going to agree any terms with Europe, we're definitely not doing anything, and we're basically, what is the one expression I saw, we cannot have the illusion of engagement without the reality of compromise. It's a lovely quote. But so there's quite strong words coming up too, but... Yeah, a choppy session with thin volume, Lindsay, in summary.
I thought that Gove was actually against Boris Johnson pulling out of talks. He said, I think the EU delegation is due to go to Downing Street and have a talk with Boris Johnson and his team. And Boris Johnson says, don't bother coming unless you've got a new offer. And I thought that over the weekend, Gove and one other minister, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Dominic Raab, I can't remember. But anyway, said, no, we should have a deal. But now, anyway, I don't understand it.
He's been coming out punching in the last 20 minutes. I mean, he's come out really. Some of his headline news, I'm sure you'll read them as the night progresses. But no, definitely coming out sort of punching. He says, our door's not closed, etc. But basically, we are better off on our own, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I'm sure we'll see the news flow as it continues. He's obviously speaking at the moment. It's coming through as we talk.
Yeah, let me just have a look at the Telegraph and see if they've got a live feed coming through there.
UK's Gove says we cannot have agreement on any terms. Ireland government preparing to move to highest COVID. Yes, it's a lot of news flow coming across from your part of the world at the moment.
Okay, well, keep an eye on that one. UK will not be back if trade talks fail this autumn, says number 10. Watch Gove live. There we go. Yes, okay, we'll do that after we've had a chat. What happened on the JSC today? Look really, really dreary.
Really dreary. I mean, I'm trying to find stuff to talk about with you, but it's been very thin. Look, there was a general... I think it was a general positive sentiment this morning. You know, we started off on the front foot, and then as the day progressed, and you know, couldn't really help it after the US markets went negative. But in general, felt fairly positive. The news flow was very, very thin. One or two comments with the medium term budget that we were looking forward to on the 28th of November, but since then there was very little. Banks took a nice bounce today. That'll be my first comment. Financials, after being beaten down for a couple of weeks, finally found a little bit of a bid this afternoon. But in general, even gold shares up a little bit this morning. It just trickled down negative. And volume, which we will divulge on the close, was anything but stellar.
Yes, okay. Well, let's have a look at the spot prices, such as they are, Nick. Let me get my currency screen up here and go with the Rand, because it's still below 16.50, and it's been steady, but it's just orbiting that number.
I've had to make one comment on the Rand. I think it's been trading quite well. I mean, 0.5% firmer, and even when we had a little bit of a risk-off sell when the US went negative, the Rand is fairly stable. So I'd have to say, on a positive note, definitely that is a positive. A stronger rand and stronger EM currencies.
Yes, and of course that lends itself to people buying financials and banks. Dollar rand is 16.46, British pound against the rand 21.40, euro rand 19.40, euro dollar. That's a big move. 117.85, the dollar weaker by 0.6%. That's come from nowhere. It was 117.05, 117.10 this morning. I've got the gold price, 1908, only up a couple despite the weaker dollar. We've got platinum down 3 to 866. Palladium, you're going to give me now.
Yeah, is a 0.25% firmer, make it almost $6, 2,337.
Precious metals all very quiet, and crude oil also. It's in the positive column. It's up 0.5%, 20 cents a barrel. West Texas, 41.08, and Brent crude just below 43, 42.99, up 6 cents a barrel, or 0.14%. Very quiet indeed. Give us the latest on that very choppy Wall Street session, the three indices we watch, S&P, NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones.
Yes, S&P has bounced back into the green. It's currently up just 10 points, 0.31% at 3,472. Dow Jones was exactly on the flat line. It's just 11 points weaker, down by 0.04. It's not even worth mentioning. But the NASDAQ's been the one to watch. That's been all over the place. NASDAQ is the weakest of the bunch, down 0.25% currently, down 24 points. A bit of a lag in the tech sector, and I think we saw that on Friday too. The other two indices, the S&Ps and the Dow, was up on the Friday session, and it was negative. So maybe a bit of rotation out of the tech sector with Tesla due tomorrow, or Netflix due tomorrow, Tesla on Wednesday. So there's quite a few tech earnings starting this week, so maybe a little bit of positioning for that.
Two or three articles I've seen recently about the FANGs and the US stocks. And the first point they make is technology companies to the fore in the United States. We know about that. China also playing some catch up here. Europe not so good. European tech stocks not doing so well. But a lot of people saying because of the lofty valuations in the US, they're switching certain amount of their US exposure into Chinese stocks because they are cheaper, and they're also
starting
to catch up.
Out of maybe the FANG or the tech space into
Chinese ships. Tech companies. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you have to be careful, and you have to know a little bit about it and have a good money manager there. But that seems to be something that's being moved on various sites that I read. Anyway, it's worth looking at.
Well, if you look at the numbers this morning out of GDP, even though it was a slight miss, you know, 4.6% GDP growth in the Far East, I mean, compared to what you're getting on the other side of the globe, you know, it's certainly, they seem to have sort of come through the COVID pandemic a lot better than others. And if you give them, as you said, the lofty sort of evaluations of tech shares in the US, heading into the elections, a few others, yeah, it's probably not a prudent move. What I'd like to see sort of as a money manager is a bit more out of the FANGs, out of the techs, not necessarily going across into China, but maybe into value shares, maybe going into sort of the broader Russell 2000 or something. And then I think you can, feel a little bit more confident. But I think that just adds to the choppiness, Lindsay. I mean, out of a basket of FANGs and across the globe into something else. And that's why I think you're seeing these sort of these quite big swings at the moment. And volatility's up, incidentally, 3 days in a row.
Where is it now?
Mentioned that for a while. Yeah, VIX is back at up again today, third day, 2.5% higher, 28% vol, which is doesn't sound like it was 24.5 sort of midweek last week, so up at 28, and that's with a market that's been hasn't sold off. So you expect volatility to pick up and big sell off. So certainly someone or some firm is starting to sort of price in a bit of risk coming on, a bit of volatility, and that's why you're seeing this VIX spike. So keep an eye on that one.
Will do. Okay, move us on the JSE today. Now, this is probably going to be out of date. Let me just refresh my screen and see if anything happens, so you can correct me if I make any large faux pas. But I got SAPI. SAPI was the subject of an upgrade. I think it was by JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley. Which one was it this morning, Nick? Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I did see. I'll tell you now who it was.
But anyway, I've got 16.7% higher, nearly 17% up. Which was the house that said we like this one?
JP Morgan price target 34 Rand, overweight recommendation. So it's currently closed at 26 Rand 74. So if you believe JP Morgan, they set a price target, I'll repeat that, 34 Rand, which is almost 7 Rand 25 higher than where it is now.
Yeah, plenty of room if they get it right. 6.3% up for Pepcor, Standard Bank down, up 5.4%. And you're referencing the banks earlier on. First Rand also above 5%, 5.15% higher on the downside. Telkom down 6%. 6.75%, Cartrack down 4.25%, Pan African Resources down 2.9%, and Sibanye-Stillwater down 2.7%. Any that I've missed in the leaders and the laggards there?
Yeah, so let me fill in the gaps. African Oxygen, we know that story. We spoke about it earlier, been taken off the bourse. So, I mean, yeah, it's not really, it's not a real reflection, but that's what it's been delisted at. It's up 36%. Textainer, small cap, up 9.5%. And High Profits have been around a little bit. That's 7.62% higher. And City Lodge, not sure why, up 7% in the day, 2.75. So that's, don't forget, one of the big numbers this week is tourism numbers that are due out, I think, on either tomorrow or Wednesday. So maybe a little bit
I've got some tourism numbers. I've got the tourism update today. Accommodation stats came out. Let me have a look now.
Well, judging by City Lodge, I hope they were good.
Well, let me tell you what they were, and you can judge for yourself, because it says here, and I spoke to David Shapiro about it earlier, it says, total income from the tourist accommodation industry, measured in nominal terms, fell in August 81.2%, following 88.6% in July. Proceeds from the accommodation segment alone, because this includes bars and restaurants and other income, fell 82.4% year on year in August, following 91% in July.
Possibly,
so better than July. But
squeeze a silver lining out of that.
That's a grim set of numbers. Really bad.
Agreed.
Anyway.
All right. Well, maybe someone didn't think the same. Anyway, City Lodge, they're surprised by that. Sorry, thanks for correcting me. I thought it was out tomorrow. So 7% City Lodge. And the downside, a bit of a mixed bag. Some numbers, names you haven't seen for a while. Grinrod, that's been trickling higher, actually. I mean, I think, did you interview one of the chaps a couple of months ago or someone in the Grinrod space, Grinrod Shipping?
I did, it was on the occasion.
Well,
of
let me
results.
Tell you something now. The stock's about 20% higher than you did that interview, and I think you came out of it saying he was fairly upbeat.
Yes, he was. You could tell that he wanted to talk to me, which is very unusual.
I think it was 3.20 or 3.25, 4.11 today. The close 4.11.
Very good.
Down a little bit today, but it's obviously after a big bounce back. And Pan African Resources down 2.5%. But a mixed bag's the downside, but the upside definitely the solid theme financials with that stronger rand. And I like to think a little bit of a positive slant to the market, even given the weaker volumes today.
I remember that, actually, because after I'd conducted the interview in the morning, and I phoned you immediately and said, have a listen to this, because he obviously is very, very enthusiastic about the future.
I remember
that, exactly. Okay, Nick, just after the market has closed, what were the indices on this first day of the new trading week, please, and the all-important volume?
Yeah, okay, so Lindsay, it felt better than it, I guess, these numbers are, but I didn't think it was too bad for this Monday. But anyway, JSE All Share finished up 150 points or 0.25%. The JSE Top 40 was firm about 1.7, but just 86 points higher, but nevertheless still in the green, led by the financials that we spoke about, that index 2.36% firm. Industrials had a good day, 2.25%. Energy up 2.17%. Real estate as well, 1.66% firm. And the laggers today, basic material, just 10 pips to the red. Technology shares were weaker. That'll be your process. Had a bit of a soggy day today. That index down 0.59%. And utilities down 3.5%. Value traded, very dismal. Just in the auction, managed to get up to 15.084 billion. Ooh. So if it wasn't for the last few minutes, would have been in the 14. So not a great start given the volume for a Monday.
I mentioned this to David Shapiro in a previous interview, and I'll mention it to you again. A tweet came out today. I can't remember the exact phraseology employed by the tweeter, but he said, more or less said, the JSE is a small, irrelevant exchange only kept going by dual listeds and Regulation 28. In other words, it's the NASPERSs and the processes of the world that are keeping it going. And the only reason, the other reason is because of Reg 28, because we can't take all our money out. And pension funds can't as well. So it was a brutal assessment of our local exchange. Do you agree with it?
Lindsay, let me put it this way. Let me be a little bit more diplomatic. It's hard not to disagree with that sort of statement. And given the fact that a large portion of our market used to be derivative based as well, I'd love to see the volumes on SAFEX, South African Futures Exchange as well. I believe they're down massively. I saw a number, and it was doing the rounds of Business Day, obviously given this Afrox delisting number, and I know our friend David's been very vocal about the delistings recently. I think we've gone from, I don't know, 400-500 a decade or so, a couple ago, and now we're looking at, like, there's 250 companies have delisted since 2000.
Yes,
I think, I don't know what the numbers are this year. But last year was like, 26 or 27. And these are staggering numbers. Like, I don't know how you solve it. As the JSC, as they like to call themselves, the largest exchange on the continent, I don't know how they change that reversal without an economy that's turning over. It's a difficult job to be there with the JSC right now, I think.
Yeah, indeed it is. And the last time we had this few companies on the JSC was in the 1930s.
Kidding me, is that true?
Yeah, so it's true. It's another trick that came up.
Statistic, huh?
Anyway. On that sad note, I'll let you go. Thanks very much for your analysis. We'll speak again in the morning. That's Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.